Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Last week I looked at, do we truly appreciate the love of God, in 1 John 3:1. And then we began looking at number 2, do we truly show any likeness to God? And that's 1 John 3, verses 2 through 24. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? And 1 John chapter 3, and let's start there in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, got to get in the right book here. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So John now is going to show us what sin is, because there are many people in this world that think they don't sin. They think they're pretty good. I mean, honestly, they think they are pretty good. They really don't think they sin, I guess. But so in verse 4, 1 John 3, 4, whosoever committeth sin does what? Transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So if we go beyond what God says, then we are transgressing his law. And right now our nation is going way beyond what God says is right. We are transgressing his law. And that's a very serious thing. We've gone way beyond what God allows. It's just terrible what is happening. But so we can go beyond what God allows, but we can also sin if we don't do the least that he commands. If you hold your place here, let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's kind of like being out on the freeway. There is a speed limit and also a speed minimum. If we go beyond the speed, that is breaking the law. If we don't go the minimum speed out there, then we're also breaking the law. James 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So if God tells us to do something and we don't do it, that is sin. If he says don't do something and we go beyond it and do it, that's sin. So not doing the minimum he asks and going beyond what he says, both are sin. And so back in 1 John 3 and go to verse 5 then, that's why Jesus came, because we are sinners. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifested. Manifested means to make known, to show forth. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So that's why Jesus came, because we are sinners, and we readily know that and admit it. But just like as we've seen in the book of 1 John, John will tell us, okay, we are sinners. And then he'll go back and say, but this is the standard. And so he's going to do that again. Verse 6, 1 John 3, 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. So at first, you know, in the book of John, you just can't read one verse in the book of John and stay there. We've got to read the whole book and compare scripture with scripture. There have been so many people that come to the book of John and either teach that salvation can be lost or they teach sinless perfection. But that is not what John is teaching, as we've gone over. I'll go back in chapter 1, verse 8. We have to keep reminding ourselves, okay, what did John say in 1 John 1, 8? The Bible says, if we say that we have what? No sin, we what? Deceive ourselves, and the what? The truth is not in us. So that's really clear. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then in verse 10 there, 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him what? A liar, and his word is not in us. Boy, that's a serious thing to call God a liar, isn't it? It sure is. So the minute we say we are sinless, well, we just committed a big sin because now we're a liar. So what is John saying in 1 John 3:6? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Well, actually, the answer is right there. We're so dumbfounded by the statement, we miss what is clear. Verse 6 says, whosoever what? Abideth in him sinneth not. The answer is right there. Whosoever abideth in him. Well, what does abide mean? Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary defines abide as to endure without yielding, to withstand. So read it again. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, the word abideth means to endure without yielding, to withstand. This statement does not mean that we reach a state of sinless perfection in our lives. You know, the people that believe that can real easily get discouraged and just give up on the whole thing. They say, well, I tried to serve God, but he says, hey, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Well, I guess I never knew him then, because I tried not to sin and I sinned anyway. So they just give up. So that is not the meaning of it there. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean that we've reached a sinless state of perfection. We just read those verses once again. The word abide, so it means to yield, to endure without yielding, to withstand. So someone who is abiding in Christ is not going to sin while they are abiding in Christ. You may say, what did you just say? You just said that we don't reach a state of sinless perfection on this earth, but then you just said, if we are abiding in Christ, we do not sin. And while we are abiding in Christ, we do not sin. Well, the key is, well, what does it mean then to abide in Christ? So someone who is abiding in Christ, all the moments they are abiding in him, are not going to sin. This is illustrated by Peter's life. Let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. You may say, I don't know what you just said, but it sure sounds strange. Matthew 14 and verse 26. Okay, we're going to read here that Peter, we're going to look at Peter. He's abiding in Christ right now. In Matthew 14, 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So here's where we see Peter abiding in Christ. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he, referring to Jesus, said what? Come. So what did Peter do? And when Peter was what? Come down out of the ship. Jesus said, come. Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked what? On the water to go to Jesus. He's abiding in Christ. He's obeying Christ. He asked Christ a question. Christ said, come. Peter comes. He gets out of the ship and goes. He obeys what the Lord says. But now we're going to see Peter not abiding in Christ. Verse 30. But when he what? Saw the wind. Now, since when is the wind more powerful than God? It's not, is it? But he saw the wind boisterous. And then it says he was what?
Afraid.
So now what is he, instead of abiding in Christ, instead of being, well, we're going to see an example here in just a minute about abiding in the vine, a branch, abiding in the vine. But so Peter, to get out of the ship, is abiding in Christ. He's relying totally on Christ and his word. Jesus said, come, and he got out of the ship and come to Christ. But now he gets down, the wind is boisterous, and he's afraid. At this point, the problem is this matter of abiding in Christ. Remember, we're not talking about salvation. In a moment, we're going to talk about sanctification. We are not talking about salvation right now, this abiding in Christ. That's a different topic. Right now, we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about being set apart from sin and set apart from sin to God. Trusting Him, fully obeying what He says to do. That's what Peter did when he got out of the ship. He was fully obeying what Jesus said to do. He knew it was windy before he got out of the ship. He knew it was boisterous before he got out of the ship. He knew in the flesh he could not walk on water when he got out of the ship. But that did not stop him, because at the moment he was abiding in Christ, he was fully trusting him in him. But then verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So in one moment we see Peter abiding in Christ, fully willing to do what he says, trusting in him, not trusting in his own power whatsoever, or he never would have set foot out of the ship. But the minute Peter stops abiding in Christ, the minute Peter starts looking at the elements, the weather, and himself, he fears, and suddenly he's not abiding in Christ. He's fearing. Then, let's see here, down in verse, well, I guess we read those verses there. Okay, so I said we were talking about sanctification, not salvation here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. You know, it's no different with us. If we are abiding in Christ, while we are abiding in Christ, we are not going to sin. You may say, wait a minute. What did you just say? I said, while we are abiding in Christ, we are not going to sin. It's that definition of what is abiding in Christ. It's what Peter did at first when he was totally willing to do whatever Christ said and trust his power, not his own. At that moment, you know, it's the same thing with us. It's when we get our eyes off from Christ and on everything around us, when we start trusting our own flesh, our own strength, that is when we sin. We don't give in to sin when we are abiding in Christ. When we are trusting his word, and when we have a heart to willingly obey him, that's not when we sin. It's the times when we are not obeying him, not listening to his word. That's when we sin. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. There it is. How ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your what? Sanctification. that ye should abstain from what? Fornication. So, and so we get into these sins now. It's this the sanctification when we're set apart to God. You know, we can go out of the house fully endeavoring to be a witness for Christ, to serve the Lord with all purity of heart and mind. And so while we are in that frame of mind and spirit, totally yielded to Christ, that is not when we're going to sin. When we sin is when we get our minds and thoughts off from Christ and something in this world gets our attention. That is when we sin. And it's because we're not abiding in Christ at that moment. Notice in Galatians 5, Galatians 5, verse 16. So the problem in 1 John is when people see that word abide, and I guess probably a big problem here is people automatically think of abiding in Christ for salvation. But it's the context is a practical thing. You know, when we get saved, we are declared righteous in the sight of God. When God looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of his Son. And we are declared righteous. We are set apart from our sin. That's our position in Christ. But practically speaking, while we walk this earth, that's the sanctification part. We need to practice being separate from sin. But Galatians 5:16. This I say then, what? Walk in the Spirit, and watch this. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's the same thing. Abiding in Christ is the same thing as walking in the Spirit. So, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye what? Shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's the same thing that John is saying. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As long as we are walking in the Spirit, we are not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's when we stop walking in the Spirit. And so the problem is we're looking at a fluid situation moment by moment, aren't we? We're dealing with something that can change in a split second. From walking in the Spirit to something distracting us and stop walking in the Spirit in just a second of time. That may be some temptation on a billboard. It may be something that you hear online or on the radio or internet. It can be a multitude of things in a split second. It can be walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It's very clear here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And the reason we don't sin at those moments is because we are abiding in Christ. Where we do not sin in those moments because we are yielding to his power, to his will. But a split second later, we could be choosing our own will. So we can wither in just a moment. Notice in John 15, I said we'd talk about the abiding in the vine, and that's exactly what this is all about. In John 15 and verse 4, John 15:4. The Bible says what? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Remember that definition of abide. To endure without yielding. To withstand. Have you ever cut a branch off from a tree that has leaves on it? And then come the next day to look at it, you can already see the moisture is going out of those leaves, and the leaves are withering up, drying up, just in a day's time. And it's the same thing with us. The moment The moment we pull back from abiding in Christ, the moment we quit listening to him, and his word says this, but for whatever reason, we don't do that. That moment, we're pulling back, and that is when we are going to sin, because we are not abiding in Christ at that moment. So John is not teaching sinless perfection. It's this matter of sanctification. He's just stating the facts. When we sin, we have to realize, listen, how did I get into this situation? I wasn't abiding in Christ. So you can see, it's not enough just to pray in the morning, is it? You know, just to pray before we go to work or pray before you start your household chores or with the children. That's not enough, is it? Because in just a moment of time, we can be, all I can think of is totaled like a car. You know, just a moment of time, a car can be just a mass of sheet metal. And just a moment of time, you know, we can start out with the best intentions a day. We can start out the day with the best intentions, spending time in the Bible, spending time in prayer. And just moments after we are finished with that, we can be a disaster unless we abide in Christ. It's illustrated, as I said, in the life of Peter. And here's another occasion. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Once again, Peter was abiding in Christ, but my, how fast things can change. Not only with Peter, but with us. In Matthew 16:13, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And who answered? Simon Peter. Answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, what? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath what? Not revealed it unto thee, but who? My Father, which is in heaven. So right now, at this moment, Peter is abiding in Christ. He is not trusting his flesh. He's not looking at this one whom Isaiah 53 tells us has no form, no beauty. There's nothing that we should desire looking at him. Peter right now is not analyzing Jesus through the flesh, but through the Spirit. And Jesus blesses him. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But just a little bit later, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and what? Be killed and be raised again the third day. Then who? Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Is Peter abiding in Christ now? No. He's suddenly reverting back to his own physical thoughts and ideas, and he's saying, he rebukes the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." So whereas in verse 17, Jesus blessed Peter and told him, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now see what Jesus says, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me," who? Satan. "Thou art an offense unto me." Wait a minute. He just blessed him in verse 17. And now Jesus is saying, "Peter, you're an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that" what? Do you see how quickly Peter quit abiding in Christ? Now he's in the flesh. Rebukes the Lord, this is not going to happen unto you. Before, in verse 16, Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus blesses him, verse 17. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father. Well, Jesus tells him what's going to happen, and suddenly Peter's in the flesh. He's not abiding in Christ. Now Jesus says, Get thee behind me, Satan. What a drastic change. Well, the problem is not with Christ. The problem is not that, you know, he's so up and down. One moment he can be blessing you, and the next minute he can be calling you Satan. The problem was not with Jesus. The problem was with Peter, just like with us. From one moment to another, one moment we can be abiding in Christ, bringing forth words of life, and the next moment we can be in the flesh, as it were, rebuking God. That is not abiding in Christ. So these illustrations from the life of Peter are showing us exactly the point that John was getting at here in 1 John. On another occasion, we see the same thing. Look in Matthew 26. Don't mean to be picking on Peter tonight, but he's just like us. So we can really associate with him. Matthew 26 and verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered. What is he going to say? Does Peter say, Lord, would you please pray for me because I don't want to deny you. I don't want to be scattered from you. No. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, Though what? All men shall be offended because of thee, yet will what? I never be offended. You tell me, was he abiding in Christ now or in the flesh? The flesh. We see it. He's not listening. He's not abiding in Jesus' word. He's abiding in his own thoughts. Oh, Jesus. I would never be offended because of you. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see how quick things can change if we are not abiding in Christ. Just about instantly things can change. Verse 35, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You see, he's still abiding in the flesh. Now he's trusting in his flesh. And of course, you know the story. Verse 40, And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The what? The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but what? The flesh is weak. That's the difference between abiding in Christ or abiding in the flesh. Resting on the flesh or resting in Christ. Obeying the flesh, the desires of the flesh, or obeying Christ. So he failed. And down in verse 69, Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came at him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he what? Denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the same cause why in our lives, when we sin, there's that bitterness in the end. Why? Why did I do it? Why did I do it? It's because we didn't abide in Christ. We did not walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall what? Not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. While we're walking in the Spirit, we are not going to sin while we are walking in the Spirit. It's when we start walking in the flesh is when we start sinning. That's the point that John is making once again. So let's go back to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. So, you know, this is a book that is just brutally honest with us. And it keeps showing us what we are and then what the standard is and what we are and what the standard is and what we are and what the standard is. And he just keeps going back and forth. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Another tough verse to contemplate here in the book of 1 John. But maybe these verses will shed some light on it. Look in Romans 7. Romans 7:22. Romans 7, verse 22. If we would read the book of 1 John faithfully throughout our lives, we would never get filled with pride because we would continually be reminded that we're but sinners and the standard is high. And Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after what? The inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of what? Sin, which is in my members. So he said he delighted in the law of God after the inward man. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4, 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the what? The old man. So we're told to put off the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the what? Spirit of your mind. And that ye put on what? The new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Verses 22 through 24 will help us get into the context of 1 John 3:9. So if you'd hold your place here and let's look back and read 1 John 3:9 again. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And then let's read that again, Ephesians 4, 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How are we renewed in the spirit of our mind? Is it not through the word of God? And wasn't that Peter's problem? He was abiding in Christ and doing so well until he quit listening to Jesus' words, sometimes rebuking Jesus, sometimes just fearing other things more than believing his word. So be put off, verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on what? The new man, which after God, the new man. When we get saved, we have a new man inside. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I believe that verse 24 is what John is getting at in 1 John 3:9. We are born of God. You know, when we sin, it's not the new man inside of us that's making that decision. What is it? It's the old man. It's the old man that's making that decision. It's the flesh making that decision. And I believe that's what John is getting at in 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. But it's that, it's the same thing you read through Romans 7. It's the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, is telling of that same struggle going on. And in closing, we can go to there in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. Romans 7, 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the part that doesn't want to sin. But I see another law in my members. Now he's referring to the old man, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's talking about that new man versus the old man. So he gets right into chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. So there it is. So with John, it's one of those meaty books, isn't it? It's so many people read 1 John and start thinking, oh, can lose your salvation, or you can attain sinless perfection on the earth. John does not teach that whatsoever. He just teaches, he's brutally honest. The minute we say we've achieved sinless perfection, we just told a lie, and guess what? We sinned. But he continues to go, listen, that is the standard. That is the standard. Nothing has changed. And so may God help us to live victorious, to abide in Christ, to walk in the Spirit. Because while we are abiding in him, while us puny little branches are hooked into him, drawing from him, we're not going to sin. It's that word abide. Let me get back to my definition here so I say it correctly. Abide, to endure without yielding, to withstand. So while we are abiding in him, while we are drawing from him, listening to him and obeying him, we are not going to make the choice to sin. It's when we cut off our own branches. I trimmed some apple trees today. And as I said, you trim off a branch with leaves on it. Those didn't have leaves yet, but it's going to wither away. So may God help us to truly abide in him and to walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask for your help. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, even after the morning of spending time in your word and in prayer, help us not to walk out of the house in self-confidence that now we can handle the world. Lord, help us realize that when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Lord, help us to realize that every moment we must yield to you, because the moment we quit abiding in you, the moment we quit walking in the Spirit, is the moment we are wide open to fall into sin. So please help us, Lord. We know that the standard is high because you are absolutely holy. You tell us to be holy, for you are holy. Lord, that is our desire. Please help us in Jesus' name.